which had been discovered in the building's mailroom. A pipe bomb had been sent to CNN in New York, but its intended target was former CIA director John Brennan, a frequent Trump critic. The device was similar to bombs that had been mailed to Trump's leading Democratic Party adversaries, including former President Barack Obama and Trump's rival in the 2016 election, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. "It has all been building up to some kind of act of violence," I thought. I had feared the day would come when the president's rhetoric would lead one of his supporters to harm or even murder a journalist. And when it happened, the United States would undergo something of a sea change, joining the list of countries around the world where journalists were no longer safe reporting the truth. Perhaps we have already entered that era, a dangerous time to tell the truth in America. Of course, there wasn't a damn thing I could do about it from where I was, strapped to my seat at the beginning of a 5-hour flight to Northern California. All I could do was watch as the images of domestic terrorism played out on my tiny in-flight TV. Yes, for a reporter, there are a few things worse than missing a big story like this one, but fear of missing out was not the emotion I was feeling at that moment. I was pissed off. Really, really pissed off. This was a terrorist attack on my news organization, and without a doubt, on the American Free Press. Since the days before the Iowa caucuses in 2016, I'd covered both Trump's unimaginable rise to power and his tumultuous presidency. My photographers, producers, and I had covered the rallies where Trump demonized the press, where he called us disgusting and dishonest, before moving on at a news conference he had held before being sworn into office to dub my network and me fake news. We had listened to the chants of CNN sucks from his crowds of supporters, seen them give us the middle finger, and heard them call us traitors and scum. And of course, who could forget when the President of the United States said we were the enemy of the people? On my way to California, I ripped up my original speech for the folks at San Jose State and started from scratch. The students, I had decided, would get the unvarnished truth about what I had been witnessing during my time covering Trump. I was afraid the president, I later told the crowd, was putting our lives in danger. But this was no time to back down. The truth, I argued, was bigger than a president who was acting like a bully. We were in a fight for the truth, and the stakes couldn't be higher. Throughout Trump's race for the White House and during his first 2 years in office, I've been jotting down anecdotes, collecting quotes from sources, listening to stories from Trump aides and associates past and present, and stockpiling reflections on what is clearly the most important political story of my life. In many ways, it is one I've been preparing to tell ever since I knew I wanted to be a journalist. Growing up in the D.C. area, I have politics in my blood. The Washington Post was delivered to our house every morning. My parents were blue-collar, but Mom read the Post from cover to cover each day. Dad worked at local grocery stores and came home with stories of meeting the likes of Dick Gephardt, the former Missouri congressman and Democratic presidential candidate. As for me, I went to high school with the daughter of U.S. Senator Trent Lott. My best friend Robert's father, Eugene Dwyer, worked at the State Department. Unlike a lot of young journalists these days, I took the traditional local news route to my jobs in network and cable news. Over the years, I worked everywhere, from D.C. to Knoxville to Dallas to Chicago, learning from some great journalists and covering everything under the sun. In local news, I was constantly on the go, running between City Hall, the courthouse, and police headquarters. That's how I began to cultivate sources, generate scoops, and above all, report things to the best of my ability in a fair and accurate fashion. Eventually, CBS News gave me the opportunity of a lifetime, working under the likes of Dan Rather and Bob Schieffer. I covered the war in Iraq, Hurricane Katrina, and the presidential campaign of John Kerry. It was an amazing transition for me, one that opened up a huge world of possibilities. But it was CNN that gave me the job I had always wanted, as a political reporter. In 2008, I covered Barack Obama's epic battle with Hillary Clinton. In 2010, I carved out a niche for myself covering the rise of the Tea Party, an assignment that would prepare me well for surviving Trump's rallies many years down the line. And 2 years later, the network had me covering Mitt Romney's failed presidential bid. After Romney's defeat, CNN moved me over to the White House to cover Obama's second term. No Drama Obama, as he was known, experienced plenty of drama during his final 4 years in office. The Benghazi attack, the ill-fated rollout of the Obamacare website, the rise of ISIS, and the scandal at the Department of Veterans Affairs were all serious challenges that plagued Obama, damaging his legacy as the president who had stopped a second Great Depression and ordered the mission to take out Osama bin Laden. As it turns out, many of the stories that kept us busy during Obama's second term, such as ISIS and the president's inability to pass immigration reform, teed up some of the themes Trump would ride into the Oval Office. Long before he became a presidential candidate, Trump was a political fixture on cable news, partly because of his devotion to the birther movement,